Okay, so we are in a series called Give Thanks. And I like this series. It's a Thanksgiving series. It's a cute title, right? But last week, Richie kind of pulled a bait and switch on us where he talked about sacrifice and how he really challenged us to live our lives in a sacrificial mode where every single day we're giving over, Lord, today belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. And I'm gonna sacrifice who I am and all that you've called me to be for this person or this day or whatever that looks like. And so he challenged us last week. And this week I have the privilege of talking about serving. And I feel like I'm also gonna pull a little bit of a bait and switch, follow his leading on that. So we love to serve here. It's on every one of our shirts. It's something that we do. But one of the things that Rich and I really try to do is we really try and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, how are you calling us to serve? Not just service in the sense of like, yes, let's meet a need. Yes, let's do this. But like, is this what he's called us to do? And we've had people tell us like, we need to do a food pantry and we need to do this and we need to do that. And when we pray about it, we just don't feel like that's what God's called us to do. And what you don't understand is not all service is good service. Right? And the title of my message today, if you're taking notes, is serving or not serving? That's the question. Serving or not serving? That's the question. My papa told me this phrase when I was growing up, and I was maybe 10 or 12 when he told it to me. And it's, most of you have probably heard it. It's, give a man a fish and you fed him for a day, but teach a man to fish and you fed him for a lifetime. And so I think the thing about that I really want to point out to you is, parents, be very careful the seeds that you deposit inside of your children, even at a young age, because you have no idea the lasting impact those seeds, good or bad, are going to play out. And so I didn't realize the hold that phrase had on me, or the way that it caused me to look at things, until we were in a situation. Richie was on staff at a church. And part of our salary package was that Richie, you know, got a parsonage. So we were on staff at this church, and he was on staff at this church, and we lived on the church grounds. So we, you know, locked up at night, you know, opened the church and stuff like that. And the first week that we lived there, I was pregnant with Mia. And I can remember at 5 a.m., I heard all this noise outside the church. And I was like, babe, get up. Something's going on outside. There's all this racket. Something's up. And he goes, no, it's just the church food pantry. And at 5 a.m., there's this all this hustle and bustle and all this stuff going on. And I'm like, man, it's so cool to be part of a church that serves in this way. And by 7 a.m., the line was long and people were there and they were ready to receive a full meal. I mean, full groceries. So the church fed about 50 to 100 families a week groceries. It was insane. And I remember thinking like, oh, this is amazing. This is amazing. But as we volunteered every now and then, and we would bring our youth and we would serve in the food pantry, and sometimes I would go over and serve, you know, in the prayer room and things like that. And year after year, remember, we were 5 years there, and this was every Thursday. And I just remember seeing over and over and over and over again, it's the same people. It was the same people over and over again. There was no area in their life, no one had challenged them to say, do you really need this? Church, I know today's gonna be a quiet message, and I already prepared myself for it today. Because sometimes what happens is we see a need and we wanna be God. We wanna be God. Like, that person doesn't have, and I wanna make sure that they do. And really what ends up happening in seasons like that is we become resentful. Because all of a sudden we're playing a role and we are trying to operate in grace that God has not given us. And what I saw in that season was I saw volunteers that were 65 and older, most of them 75, 80 years old, sweating so bad, serving these people. They would work tirelessly throughout the week. You can ask Richie. They would work so hard to serve these people. And time after time and after time again, I would have an opportunity to ask them, hey, what happened? Why are you in this situation? What happened? Oh, well, I can't make that much money because my assistants will be taken away. And to be honest with you, there was a frustrated part of me because I'm thinking, But why don't we believe God that he's going to meet all of our needs, not just our tummy needs? Why don't we believe him that he can meet all of your needs? So that means if he gave you two hands and two feet to do something, let's do something. If he gave you a mind, let's do something. So today I want to talk to you about a little bit about this and how we in the church have got it wrong a little bit of the time. Now, I am not saying that you should not be led by the Spirit, because I fully believe there have been times in our life when the Lord said, I want you to give sacrificially in this situation. And we have to be obedient when he tells us. But there have also been times when I didn't have it and I gave it because it hurt my heart to see somebody suffer. And really, when I look back on it, the Lord was like, Misty, you went without and your family went without because you were sad, not because I called you to do that. And so there is a real detriment in the body of Christ where we take that place of, I should meet this need because I don't like the way this situation looks. I don't like the way this situation looks. And not every impoverished person in our life or every person that's poor in spirit, the Bible talks about sad and downcast, not every person needs a miracle or a handout. Sometimes we need to let them struggle. And the reason being is because for some of you, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to stop for a second. Let's just stop there. So I want to read this to you. And I was doing a little bit of research about this and really sitting with the Lord and talking to him. And I found this book, and it's called Dead Aid. And the woman's name is Dambisa Moyo, and she is a Zambian economist. Okay, so she is from Africa. She lives in Africa. And this is what she said. She said, Africa is addicted to aid. For the past 60 years, it has been fed aid. Like an addict, it needs and depends on its regular fix, finding it hard, if not impossible, to contemplate existence in an aidless world. In Africa, the West has found its perfect client to deal. That phrase gripped my heart because I thought, how many times do we give and we have not been led? And instead of what ends up happening is people become addicted to your handout instead of working for what God has already given them the ability to do. And I want to tell you, in Africa, farmers, mosquito net artisans, I was just talking to Holly about this, mosquito net artisans and potters are becoming obsolete. Because why would you want to work for something when countries like the U.S. Dumbo drop it into you on a regular basis? Why? There's no incentive. There's no incentive for us to be hardworking and productive and do things with our hands and do that. Because why? Because it's easier to give money. It's much easier to fix the problem, right? But the problem is it doesn't fix it. It doesn't fix it. And a handout has never fixed an internal character issue. It just doesn't. There's a reworking that has to come through the Holy Spirit. And so I want to read this to you. Those of you that know some physicians, what physicians have to do is they have to take the Hippocratic Oath, right? Before they become doctors, they have to take the Hippocratic Oath. And there's a couple of things in there that Hippocratic Oath says. And so this phrase or this oath that I'm going to read you right now, it's the oath of compassionate service. And after I read it, I want to dissect three really important components of that, because I feel like for us as the body of Christ, it is imperative for us when we are moving forward to recognize and rightly divide the word of truth, not just meet a need because that helps. The problem is it doesn't sustain long term. And so the oath of compassionate service says this, and it's up there. Okay. So it says this: never do for the poor what they have or could have the capacity to do for themselves. Number two, limit one-way giving to emergency situations. Number three, strive to empower the poor through employment, lending, and investing, using grants sparingly to reinforce achievement. The next one, subordinate self-interest to the needs of those being served. Listen closely to those who you seek to help, especially to what is not being said. Unspoken feelings may contain essential clues to effective service. And the last, above all, do no harm. Do no harm. When we look at a situation, because it tugs at our heartstrings, sometimes our cure becomes the problem. Sometimes we make it worse. And so I want to go very, very quickly right into the very first one, and never do for the poor what they have or could have the capacity to do for themselves. 2 Thessalonians 3:6-10 says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, we gave you this command." This is Paul writing this, okay? And he's saying, "We gave you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the traditions they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so that we could not burden any of you. We certainly had the right to ask for food, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command: those unwilling to work, do not eat." That's tough. That's tough to hear that. Because what we see in a situation like the food pantry is we see people who are hungry. And I don't know if you understand this as a mom. If your kid is hungry, you're like, "I don't care if it's McDonald's. I don't care if it's Arby's. I'm getting my kid some food. They can't be hungry." And I think that tugs at our heartstrings to the point where sometimes we overcompensate for that and we give when we really should give people an opportunity. What I would have loved to see in that food pantry situation was week one, you come and you get what you need. Week two, we're going to ask that you volunteer. I would have loved to see that. That would have been a great opportunity, but you know what would have happened? Half the people wouldn't have showed up. They wouldn't have showed up because the church down the street will give me free food as long as I want to without asking any questions. And I'm not saying, again, please hear me. My heart, if you know me, ask my husband. I will give whatever we have, whatever. At any point in time, if the Lord leads me. But there are some certain situations, church, where we put ourselves and we shackle ourselves to a situation and we create a very unhealthy dependence. And God has said, I've not called you to do that. And you're miserable right now because you put yourself in that position. I didn't call you to it. So the goal is going to be self-sufficiency. That's the goal. It's always got to be the goal, self-sufficiency. And there are some of you in this room, I know personally, that you've had to save, you had to scrap, you had to do everything that you could to make ends meet. You had to work four jobs at one point in time. You had to take a low-paying job, and at nights you had to work another job. We were there. We were in that situation. When we lived in Texas, our grocery budget was $50 a week. That's it. That's all we could afford. That's it. And guess what? We learned in that season what it looks like to save your pennies, save your dollars. You don't need that. And we learned a very valuable principle at that season of our life because we didn't have family to call home to, "Hey, can you guys just make me dinner tonight?" It wasn't like, it was like, "You got SpaghettiOs, babe? Because I got, you know, raviolis in the can tonight." That's what it was. But we learned in that season what it looks like to struggle so that on the other side of that, we didn't have to struggle. And there's some of you in this room that feel guilty for being blessed. And God's saying, stop. Because you had to struggle, and you had to fight, and you had to claw your way through it. And nobody gave you a handout. And because of that, you're better today. And you don't have to walk through that season again. But what we do is we see somebody struggling, and we want to rescue them. And God's saying, I got it. Point them to me. If he didn't call you to rescue them in that season, point them to him. And sometimes the very best thing that you can do for someone is to pray that they can endure and that God will give them the grace. It's not up to you to play God in that situation, which leads me to the second point today, and that subordinate self-interest to the needs of those being served. Subordinate self-interest. That means I feel some kind of way about this situation, but I'm going to subordinate that to, Lord, what are you asking me to do? And what's the best thing for this person? If it's pray for them, then pray for them. If it's get on your knees and sacrifice and pray to the Lord God, help them and really strive with them, then do that. If he's saying, hey, I want you to, you know, give them something, give them something. Be obedient to whatever he's asking you to do. but subordinate what you feel like in that moment to him. Subject it to his will and what he has for you. Because in those seasons, we end up putting ourselves in situations that we shouldn't be in. Philippians 2, 3 through 4 says this, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." Is it in the best interest of that person for you to pay their electric bill every month? Probably not. And I know this is hard, but the problem is you will put yourself in a dependency, codependency. And Maria and I talk about this all the time. When we put ourselves in a place of codependency, and parents, we do this with our kids a lot. And I want to tell on myself for a second. A couple of weeks ago, we were having some issues. One of our daughters was struggling with friends at school. And she did what she thought was best in a situation and what was right in a situation. And it ended up causing a lot of isolation in her life. And if I'm being truthful, I would definitely say she was poor in spirit during that season because she was so emotionally tired and sad all the time. And there is nothing more as a parent when your kid is struggling that you do not want to rescue them out of that situation. So we were with some friends and I made the comment, well, if you want to look for a new school to go to, then we will look for a new school for you. And we will look for a new school for you to go to and where you can have friends and you guys can run through rainbows together and, you know, everything will be perfect and wonderful. And I'm saying this and then all of a sudden I get a phone call the next day and it's Maria. Of course, Maria Erickson calls me and she said, "Hey, I know, Misty, that I say things a lot and I shouldn't and I give opinions when I shouldn't, but," she goes, "I gotta tell you, I don't think that what you said yesterday was helpful to your daughter." And I said, "What? Of course it's helpful. I'm her mother, of course." And she said, "No, because what you're teaching her is how to escape her problems instead of dealing with them." And it hit me at that moment that my serving wasn't actually serving her. That just because someone's poor in spirit or someone's struggling emotionally doesn't mean that it's my responsibility to rescue them. There wasn't anyone to rescue me in that situation, and I had to stand up. When I was growing up in middle school was terrible for most people, I would say. But when you're struggling in those situations, the worst thing that you can do is rescue that person. Let them be. Let God speak to them. Because what I know about this is that her countenance, when we said, "Hey, listen," we actually redact that statement that we said you could change schools because we're not going to let you do that now. Once we taught her and Maria worked with her how to stand up and how to be strong and how to be confident and really what is the Lord telling you in this season to do? We saw her change. Her perspective changed. We coached her in that season. We didn't take her or remove her from that season. We want to do that, right, though? We never want people to struggle. We never want to see them deal with anything. And the hard part is we're actually crippling them and crippling their progress because for the rest of their life, they'll look for an escape route instead of fighting through it. Fighting through it. The last thing is this, above all, do no harm. And Galatians 6:9 says this, "Let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." And the point is this, rescuing people from feeling any kind of struggle creates dependency. And I want to quickly just give you 5 steps of dependency, what this looks like. The first step is this, and I want to use COVID, the COVID relief money. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say the COVID relief money? Okay, so I want to use the COVID relief money kind of in a comparison situation here. So when COVID first happened, everybody who couldn't work was able to file for unemployment, right? So they were able to file for unemployment. And the very first thing when it comes to dependency, when we're moving towards dependency, the very first thing is appreciation. So everybody was given 3 times the amount of money that they would normally earn. And they're like, "Wow, this is amazing. I'm so appreciative. This is wonderful." So step 1, appreciation. We feel appreciated. That's, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing." Step 2, anticipation. that next month, everybody was like, am I going to get that much money again? I don't know. Are we going to see that? Then the check started coming in. We're like, okay, yes, high five. We got that same amount of money. Awesome. Step three is expectation. That third month of COVID relief money, everybody was like, I expect that this is what I've gotten for 2 months. I'm going to get that money again. By step four, the fourth month, entitlement sets in. And then what happened is Congress started talking about, we don't need to give people this much money because we can't go to a restaurant because there's no servers anymore. There's no one helping us. Yes, Kristen runs a restaurant. She understands. So there's no mid labor. There's no one to do that work because everybody's getting three times that amount sitting at home. So the expectation was, no, you're going to pay me. You're going to pay me. And some of us have seen this in our own lives, that level of expectation of you will give me that, correct? And it creates a feeling inside of us like, what if I don't? What if I don't? And the fifth step is dependency. And what you saw is a year later, there were still people not working, receiving handouts. And again, I'm not saying that this is an easy message today. And I'm not saying that I know, I agree to every one of these principles as far as like I'm able to just accomplish them. Like I can walk past a person and be like, I don't even care. No, that's not the case. I struggled too with this. I struggled too with this because someone who was raised by a single mom, if I see a single mom struggling, I'm like, Lord, please, God, please let me just give them all my money. You know what I mean? Like this is a struggle for me. This is a struggle. But at the same time, God may be saying, I want you to walk with them. I want you to walk with them during that process. You don't have to give them things. Walk with them. Pray with them. Help them. Find them a job. Find somebody a job. I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm like, if I saw a panhandler in the street, what would it look like if I said, hey, I can't give you cash right now because I don't carry cash. No one carries cash. But if I could give you something, could I have you come over and clean the gutters in my house? I'll pay you for that. Would I be willing to do that? Or would I be like, oh, that hurts my feelings. I don't want to do that. I'm just going to give them a dollar and I'm just going to keep on driving. Do you see the mentality of that? But what happens is they stand there for the rest of their life with their hand out. When really we could give them a job. We could give them an incentive. And that's what we should do in the body of Christ. Instead of giving people handouts, let's give people incentives to grow. And that's why I think Pastor Richie's book is so good, because it doesn't take away all your problems. It shows you how to walk out the steps of your issues, what you're walking through. And that's what I think is so powerful. Today, as you leave, I have these, and you guys know I like little handouts, but these are bobbers, fishing bobbers, and the reason why I got these is because I want us to remember that our objective as Christ followers is to teach people and to empower them. That's our objective, not to give people a handout, not to, you know, take away everyone's problems. Jesus did not do that. You know, when I read in the Bible about Jesus feeding people, what I read is that on the story of him on the Mount, when he was teaching on the Mount of Olives and he did the, you know, the five loaves and fishes and he fed everybody, he fed them that day. He didn't feed them the rest of their life. He fed them living word the rest of their life. But he didn't, not everybody, hey, you, when you came today, I don't know if you know, but you were getting a lifetime supply of fish. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why? Why? Because then everybody's following Jesus for what he can give instead of who he is. So I want to teach us, church, that that's our objective. So we're going to allow them to do for themselves. We're going to subordinate self-interest. And above all, we're going to do no harm. Band, if you could come. If you would stand with me, please. Let's pray. Jesus, we just are so grateful for you. God, I thank you for the truth of your word today. God, I thank you that this challenged my heart when you started revealing to me the areas of my life where I'm uncomfortable with people having less. But I pray in Jesus' name that for each one of us, God, that you would teach us how to love people correctly, how to hold people correctly, Father God, and give us the ability and the strength to walk with people on their journey, not just throw money at them, not just throw food at them, God, but to be in it with them as they grow. And Lord, I just thank you for this church. I thank you for the men and women, Father God, that you've called here. I pray that your hand would be upon them. Lord, I just thank you that even this week, God, as we live differently, Lord, as this seed goes into our hearts, Father God, and you expand the capacity for us, Father God, in every area of our life, I pray that this area of serving, Father God, would take on a new revelation. Lord, that we wouldn't just serve people, Father God, because it makes us feel better. But Lord, that we would serve people because we want to serve like you did. We thank you for that, Holy Spirit. We thank you for revealing to us, Lord, even in the unhealthy, dysfunctional ways, Father God, that we've kept people dependent upon us. Lord, help us to break those. Give us the ability, Father God, to allow people to struggle, Father God, because it's good for them. It's good for them. Lord, as parents, teach us how to let our kids struggle, not try to fix everything for them. God, we just thank you for being in this place. We thank you for teaching us and revealing your truth to us. God, I'm excited about what we learn in the next couple days and weeks, Father God, as you unfold this. Father God, as you unfold this in our lives, we're so appreciative for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.